Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
An awesome go-home show from the WWE. Could AJ be done with TNA? And where is WrestleMania 31 going to be? All this and much, much more this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
We are the only podcast that provides the most insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So, Aaron, what's going on with AJ Styles, that is, with and TNA?
So, AJ Styles had finished up his tour dates, you know, his last dates with TNA. And not to spoil the ending, which I will not, but basically he finished up his obligation and he's now saying that he's done. And his final day, I believe it was December 15th or 17th, one of the two. And after that, he said he's taken bookings, and it's anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000. And I got to say, I am a little upset about that. Like a lot more so than I thought I would be, because wrestlers come and go. But it would almost be, to me, the equivalent of in 2000, Sting, he has a storyline with WCW. He leaves, and then he shows up in WWE. Like, I would be a little upset about that. I'd feel almost and it's really weird, because it's like, okay, a better analogy. Babe Ruth going from Boston to the Yankees. It's almost like that. And that's kind of the way that I almost feel about that. And that's not saying AJ is going to WWE, but that's just giving you an example of, you know, that's where he may end up.
He won't go to the WWE. He's going to be indie all the way. And unless AAA actually, you know, does something with the United States, I don't see him going anywhere. Maybe he won't go to Ring of Honor because they won't be able to pay him that much, what he wants and probably what he deserves. And I just don't see him going to the WWE now. At one point I did, but I believe now he's done with it. The one thing that I thought was really interesting this week is that Vernon Davis, I guess, tweeted out something about where WrestleMania was going to be held at. And it's going to be held in Santa Clara, which is San Jose, San Francisco Bay, you know, the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was kind of interesting because this is supposed to be the most interactive stadium ever built. But
yeah,
I don't think they've broke ground on this yet, unless I'm wrong on that.
No, they have. I'm pretty sure it's, you know, almost done, actually. But either way, I mean, it's in Santa Clara, you know, in the Bay Area, like you said. I'm actually kind of happy they're finally having a WrestleMania on the West Coast, since they've had like six of them on the East Coast now. It is kind of nice. You know, I actually may look into going because I have a friend who has friends in the area. So I may go to next year's WrestleMania, which would, of course, would be just a huge treat. But I got to ask you, the Bay Area, you know, San Francisco, typically you don't think of them as a wrestling community. Is this something that they're strategically going to be there to maybe bring wrestling awareness in that area? Or do you think that, you know, just wherever WrestleMania is going to go, it's always going to draw?
It doesn't matter where WrestleMania is at, dude. You could have it in Kewaunee, Illinois, and people are going to come to Kewaunee, Illinois. And it's just one of those things. It doesn't matter where it's held at. People will come. And the one thing I thought was interesting also with the West Coast is that the show is going to be there. It's going to run from 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is kind of weird because that means the show is going to end at 8 on the West Coast, but 11 everywhere else. It'd be kind of interesting to see if they did something special afterwards for the fans only because of the time difference. Plus the wrestlers, I think it'll be beneficial for them because it's midday when they're wrestling opposed to late at night. And I think mentally they'll be a little bit clearer than if it's like, you know, especially for the main eventers. I think it's smart they did this. I think it'll bring the people to the area, bring the masses, if you want to say. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing what exactly happens at this WrestleMania. Maybe Sting?
Well, and just real quick, I want to throw out there the nice thing about it being on the West Coast is actually the earlier start time, because if you think about it as somebody who's a wrestler, if you're able to go and not have to think of it, you either get done at 8 o'clock at night and it's like, wow, I can go to bed, be well rested for the next day, or it gets done at 11 o'clock. And then it's like, oh man, by the time you get back to your hotel room or get something to eat, I mean, you're talking midnight, 1 o'clock. That, so, I mean, time difference, you know, that is kind of nice.
And also it's going to be nice for the crew because they're going to have the Hall of Fame ceremony on that Saturday night. And it's going to end at most likely 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock their time. So the crew could do is they could tear that set down, set up Raw, and then when they go to WrestleMania, they're not going to have to worry about, oh crap, we have to set all the stuff up for Raw. They could actually have like a nice time to actually enjoy WrestleMania for a change, opposed to be working it the entire time, which I think is going to be kind of cool. The one thing also I want to bring up is that we finally have news on what's going on with the WWE Network.
Oh, do tell.
I know. And it's kind of interesting. They're going to be doing like a Netflix type plan where you pay either $9.99 or $12.99 a month. And the deal is that if you prepay the first 6 months, you get WrestleMania this year for free. But you're also going to get all the pay-per-views as well with that same fee, except you will not get WrestleMania 31 in this case. Do you think that this business plan is better than working with like DirecTV or Comcast or Dish Network just to get that network launched from their point of view?
I'm going to speak in generalities about something real quick. We have complained in the past about the price of pay-per-views. And let's just be honest here. $50 for a pay-per-view is way too much money. And a lot of people, you don't have a ton of wrestling fans around you. You know, we had talked that if, for example, WrestleMania, let's just say that we had our friends in the area, we might have six people there, you know? So yeah, you can charge $50 and, you know, or $60 and it's $10 a person, right? That's totally reasonable. But people who are adults, typically you might have one or two people who will actually watch a wrestling pay-per-view with you. You're not going to have your buddy come over and charge them $25 for it. No, that's not going to be the case. So you have to lower the bar and you have to have it so the price to get involved with it, with the product, is low enough. The barrier to entry, they call it. So the barrier to entry right now for WWE is way too high. $240 for the Daniel Bryan story. $240. So think of it this way. You pay $12 a month. You have access to WWE's library, you know, and they might release stuff in trickles. So they might say, we're going to have, hey, we have the 93 Raw. You can watch every Raw from 1993. And you have the 96 WCW. You can watch every WCW from 1996 with the pay-per-views. And you get the pay-per-views on top of it. I have zero problems paying that. And I think most people who pirate, because there are a lot of people out there who pirate WWE programming. But if you tell them, hey, guess what? You pay $12 a month, you get all their old stuff, and you get all the their pay-per-views in HD. And it's easy to access.
Yeah, and that's one thing I'm looking forward to, because you know they're going to have an app for it for your phone, so like Android devices or tablet devices, and you know they're going to have someone with the Xbox 360, the PlayStation, you know, all the gaming systems as well.
Anything that has Netflix on it should have WWE on it, because that will, the like I said, barrier to entry. Like my TV has apps on there. So I have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, all of that stuff is on my TV. And if you're telling me that now I can just get the WWE app on there, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not going to leave my couch. Like, if anything else, it's actually probably going to be bad for me, because I'm not going to get out of the house enough, because I'm going to be watching wrestling all the time.
No, that is true. But I'm enjoying this a lot. I'm glad that they went with this, even though I wish it was with DirecTV, but there's a licensing issue about the pay-per-view. They can't air it for a month afterwards. But with this type of service, they can get away with that. But anyways, let's talk about we don't want to talk about SmackDown this week, because nothing happened besides they announced a tag match, you know, 2 days before the pay-per-view. Come on. Anyways, yeah. Someone was at Raw, and that was you, Aaron. You were at the Raw in Seattle, the Slammies. And didn't you tell me beforehand, you're like, if I would have known it was a Slammies, I would have never bought tickets. Was that a quote from you?
Yes, it was. I don't like the Slammies. I think that, you know, it's kind of poorly done, and I really don't care about them because it's, you know, it's not even a popularity contest. It's really, I think WWE picks the winners of all of them, because there have been years where you're like, how did that person win that? Like, it just makes no sense. So I don't know. I don't know that for a fact. But I got to tell you, I without spoiling anything, I was pretty excited. I thought that this was a really fantastic Raw. I went with a good buddy of mine who happens to also be a wrestling fan. And we both left the show saying, wow, I need to buy the pay-per-view. Like that's what we were talking about. It wasn't, man, you know, I mean, there's pay-per-view this weekend. You want to see it? It was, I have to see it. That's how we felt. And I think that's really good. When you have a go-home show that's that good, that when you see the ending to it, you go, I have to watch SmackDown to see if they talk about it. That is how you know you have a good show. So I'm going to give a lot of praise here to WWE. I want to just mention a couple of things real quick. During the Hunico match, the crowd was just – they were amped. And they started Russell Wilson chants, who is the quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. And then they were saying, Russell Wilson, MVP. You know, so they were having fun chants during that time. The crowd was just red hot, and they really were. And as you could probably tell if you watch the show, Daniel Bryan was just on fire. People were chanting for him at the most inopportune times. During Triple H's speech, they were chanting for him to the point that he had to stop talking because the crowd was deafening. It was deafening how much that they were chanting for Daniel Bryan. And then he just has a smirk on his face.
Have you watched the show since you went there, especially that segment? Did you notice that the crowd noise all of a sudden started to get a little bit lower? I think they actually turned the mic down, or that because when they're talking, that's why he put the mic down, because it was so loud, and then it went loud.
I think that because during the Bellas acceptance speech, when they were like, "You're too good to us, Seattle," the boos were deafening. People were booing the crap out of them. People hated the Bellas. And I think that the same thing with Triple H. People hated Triple H. I mean, they just didn't like him. And so Daniel Bryan was just getting chants left and right. And, you know, of course, the yes, you know, throwing your fingers up in the air. It was nuts. It really was.
Yeah, I was coming – when I watched it on TV, I actually stopped right before that segment and talked to my wife for about an hour and a half. I'm not making that up either. And so I started playing, and I was like, oh, great. So it's I think it was like 2:58. Yeah, this should be done about 3:11. And then when 3:18 happened, I was like, thank goodness I have 15 minutes extra for Raw, because I would have missed it. But the whole thing with Daniel Bryan and the fact they were that hot on him, I thought it was really interesting that they thought that would never happen. Really, he's from Washington State, and you didn't think the crowd would be hot for him during this segment. Come on.
Yeah. Well, and on top of it, too, here's the other thing, too. WWE hasn't been here in a year and a half. And even then, it was SmackDown, and it was a crappy SmackDown. Prior to that, it was a year before they were here, and it was for the pay-per-view, which was Over the Limit, I think. It was Miz versus Cena in the horrible I Quit match, that Ooh. Really, really awful one. And the crowd, even during that time, there wasn't that many people there. They were pretty dead for the pay-per-view. And so for this Raw, people paid to see Bryan, and they paid to see a good show, which they got. I actually took a look. I was just curious. So I went to Ticketmaster.com. I took a look to see the prices or how many tickets were still available. Now, this is, of course, a few days before. And who knows? They might have held tickets back or something. But there was only there were handfuls of tickets, and they were like one-offs. So there's one in the upper bowl, one in the lower bowl, one in this lower bowl. The tickets sold out, and there were very few taped off sections, and they were taped off for legitimate reasons, not just because no one was there. So I, you know, versus the TNA when they were out here, TNA, they had a lot of empty seats. This one, it was packed, and I truly believe that WWE will be back out here within the year, maybe even with a pay-per-view.
Do you think it's because of Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, I do. I think that people paid because you look at a year and a half ago, Daniel Bryan was not as big as he was. Punk had just gotten big. But even when the pay-per-view that I went to, Punk wasn't big yet. Punk didn't do a speech. So you didn't have the summer of Punk. Daniel Bryan was barely involved in anything. And so all you had was Cena and Miz. I mean, Cena and Miz, seriously, those are the people you're paying to see? No. Instead, you're paying to see Daniel Bryan. You're paying to see CM Punk. You're maybe paying to see John Cena, maybe Randy Orton. But you have a handful of people now. You don't have just one guy. And so I think that's the difference.
Nice. So let's talk about the ending. When you were there, was the crowd really hot for the ending of the show? Because on TV, I was really excited. It made, like you said, I wanted to buy the pay-per-view because of that. That made me want to buy it. Not like, oh, I got to buy it. It's more like, I want to buy this pay-per-view.
Yeah,
it set up a lot of stuff, like especially stuff, you know, next 3 months.
It definitely set up a possible Punk versus Triple H match, a Daniel Bryan versus HBK match, you know, and then it set up the possibility even of Cena joining Triple H on Sunday. And so there was a lot of things teased and a lot of things you could set up storyline wise that it could just splinter out. It could spiderweb basically to all these different things. So the ending was really great. And I think that everybody was just so, so into it.
Yeah, so it goes, Orton hits Punk, Punk hits back, Triple H throws Punk, Punk kicks Triple H, HBK super kicks Punk, Bryan does the running knee to HBK, Orton tries to RKO Bryan, but then Bryan throws him into Stephanie McMahon, and so Randy Orton gets RKO'd, which I thought was hilarious. Even now, talking about this segment, I really like this segment. For some reason, they actually had it over well. And even Cena, his speech, the fact that he brought up Daniel Bryan, the crowd was on Cena's side because at least on TV, I couldn't hear any more Cena suck chants after he put over Daniel Bryan. I think it stopped after that.
Well, that's why he put over Daniel Bryan, is so people wouldn't chant Cena sucks, because the dark match, people were chanting Cena sucks, and it was pretty deafening. You know, I think Doug, he talked about on quite a few episodes ago about how the kids are chanting let's go Cena and the adults are chanting Cena sucks.
Hey, what happened also during the commercial breaks? I heard some rumors about videos they were playing.
Yes, there was a lot of Hulk Hogan. They showed some videos of him, and I even said to my buddy, I go, hey, this might be foreshadowing.
I believe it's more than just foreshadowing. I think they've worked something out already where he's at least going to appear. I don't think he can wrestle, but he will appear. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code off the mark. You're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite at web hosting costs. Also, check out 686 Off the Mark page, and you're going to see a banner for WWEShout.com. Just remember wherever that coupon code that they're advertising at the time is, click on it, that link, and if you spend, usually it's $70 or more, you're going to save a buttload of money. And sometimes if you spend even more, especially with the holidays just around the corner, you're going to get the hookup. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling for this week. So what happened with Austin Aries, Aaron?
A-Double, as he likes to be called. A-Double is your new X Division champion.
What? So he beat Manic?
No, Chris Sabin. Sometimes, yeah. Unfortunately, the title gets thrown around a little bit. Well, it's not that the title gets thrown around. It's that it doesn't get defended all the time. And the title needs to be defended all the time. I need to turn on Impact Wrestling, and I need to see Manic. I need to see Chris Sabin. I need to see Austin Aries as the person who opens the show. And he has to come out there and explain to you who he is, why he has that title, and why that title is awesome. And then he has to have a match that explains all of that within the match. And they have to explain why that this is important. And I think that's the problem. Austin Aries is a phenomenal wrestler, a phenomenal talent, entertainer. He is amazing, plain and simple. And he is one of the top five in TNA, plain and simple. You know, he's somebody I pay to see.
Do you find it interesting that Mannix signed a new deal with TNA, but he hasn't been around?
That's what TNA does. Austin Aries, though, they need to showcase him more. If given the title showcases him, then yeah, I think I'm fine with it.
All right. So Sting comes out and confronts Ethan Carter III. Mm-hmm. So does this foreshadow the fact that Sting's going to put him over and leave for WWE?
I think it foreshadows the point that I was correct, you know, many, many months ago. I think that's what it foreshadows.
No, that's sad. I could care less about EC3 now. I like Derek Bateman. He's a good wrestler and stuff, but I don't like the storyline they put him in.
I actually like it a lot. I think it's good because think of it this way. You have a guy come out who's wrestling the under-talented people And it's unlike Ryback, who's taking all of these people. You're like, this is boring. Like, there's no way that none of these guys are going to beat Ryback. And you know that. Whereas EC3 is strategically going and he's saying, I want to face this guy who is 100 pounds less than me. I want to face this guy. Or he's taking these under-talented people, you know, who he can easily beat. Then you have Sting come out there and say, I'm a legend. I want in. You know, you have to face me now. And he alluded to that. I mentioned that when Main Event Mafia broke up. I said, I think that he's going to go after EC3. And I think that if he gets his comeuppance, I actually think Sting should, Ethan Carter III should put Sting over. And then you have Sting, you know, put Carter over afterwards.
Now, one thing I guess I'm really confused on the fact that why did TNA tape so many shows so fast? It's almost like they pumped out scripts, shot some of the shows out of order. Why would you do it now? Why wouldn't you try and keep it every other week taping? Because this doesn't make sense. I know the flights are cheaper and stuff, but they've taped all the way through January.
Yeah. They are really trying to cut costs as much as possible. And I think that it shows, because with something like this, if they're going to tape six shows, I think it was, in a matter of a week or two, you know, I mean, they're trying to save money. And so they can tape those shows and then they can go and tour and they can do house shows and they can make a little bit of money on the East Coast, which is, you know, what they're going for. The only thing that really sucks about it, though, is, you know, you see that something's been taped, maybe you take a look at it to see if, you know, oh, hey, what happened here? But the other thing, too, is, you know, it's like, hey, I'm going to watch this not really live. I'm going to watch this taped. I already know what's going to happen. So it's not a big surprise. Whereas like the Punk thing, that was amazing. And, you know, what happened when he returned was amazing, too, because you didn't expect it. You didn't know that was going to happen. And it did. So
the other thing with Punk, though, is when they did that, they actually taped the following Raw right after that show.
I know, which was stupid.
So then you had to wait 2 weeks to see what Punk was going to do. Yeah. And that made it, I think, more interesting, the fact they did that. I'm just thinking about it now, just gives me a little bit of goosebumps.
Yeah.
So what's one thing I don't understand is the Feast or what is it? Feast or Famine?
Feast or Famine.
Feast or Famine. Three title shots, one gets fired. Why?
There's three briefcases. One person gets the X Division, one gets the tag, and one gets the world, and then one person gets fired. One gets the pink slip. So I guess they've done this in the past, like back in like 05. I mean, they did a long time ago. Uh-huh. I got to ask you, what do you think of that? I mean, what do you think of four people getting this? I don't even remember who got it. Chavo got one of them, I know, and Ethan Carter got one. I don't even remember who the other two are, but I got to ask you, what do you think?
Stupid.
Like, are they really going to fire somebody? Do you think
they're not? If they're going to fire someone, they're going to do it storyline wise. Like, they're going to let Jeff Hardy do it so they can fire him for, you know, a month and a half till they get back from England and then be like, oh, by the way, Jeff Hardy, he was fired, but now he's back because he signed a long term deal with TNA and it expires the following January. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and that's the one thing I think with this, what TNA's doing is wrong. I think because if their ratings go down dramatically, especially for these next four shows, if they go down dramatically, they're going to start taping live again. Because I think what they're coming up with is, hey, people are going to watch wrestling regardless if they already know what the outcome's going to be. And maybe more people will watch it if they know what the final show's going to be like. You never know.
You know, I can totally understand that people may watch it even if it is taped, but they're going to watch it if it's a compelling storyline and if it's amazing wrestling. I'm not going to watch it if it's mediocre wrestling. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to.
Well, one of the shows upcoming here, I think it's in 2 weeks. They actually said that it was just a horrible show. Hands down, a horrible show. So people will probably skip it because if they hear that it's horrible, either they're going to watch it because they want to see why it was horrible, or they're just going to be like, eh, not going to watch it. But one thing I will say about that, though, is that Vince Russo, I actually listened to a shoot interview from 2002 or 2012, and he made a good point about ratings. He stated that if, let's say, a segment worked and they gained viewers, and that's what, and let's say there was wrestling going on, they would make sure that they would have wrestling going on at the segment before as well. And he said, if we had to do 2 hours worth of straight wrestling, he's like, I would do that. But he said that I'm not a booker. He goes, I'm just the guy who writes the storylines, is what he kept saying, which I thought was a little weird. But he did make the point. He goes, you have to study the ratings. And TNA did something interesting. Their ratings, with or without Hogan, didn't change. So maybe if they go to all tape shows, maybe they're going to start taping, you know, like tape a month worth of shows in a full week down at Universal.
I think that they might do that, because if for them, if it's cost effective, then yeah, absolutely. You're going to tape four straight shows. You're going to go tour, and then you're going to come back and do four more shows.
But do you have to run at least one live, though, and have like a big surprise on that one? Like, have,
yeah, I believe you do. You know, I believe you like do. I think
you do it on Thursday, then you tape the next few shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then all the wrestlers go home.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
I would think that's what you do.
You'd almost have to. That's the only thing I can think of. But they're saving money now, so we'll see what happens with TNA in the future, even though I keep saying they're going to get shut down.
So everybody's been saying that for the past 10 years.
Well, the other thing that also is true, they said the buyer who wanted 100% control.
I don't think it's real. I don't think it's even real, to be honest. But Andy, I want to talk about the weekly topic. It's actually going to be a quick one. But the importance of the unification match. So, you know, they're saying that this is going to happen, that these titles are going to be unified, that there's not going to be any tomfoolery. It's going to be actually unified. I got to ask you, let's just suspend disbelief. These titles are getting unified on Sunday. Let's just say that is going to happen, that there's not going to be anything weird. What is the importance of that? Why is that such a big deal, and why does this have such a big fight feel to it, even though the rest of the matches suck, except for this one? This is really the only big match that they have.
Oh, gosh, where's Dolphins, whatever his name is at when you need him? with this is one of those weird things. Like, okay, unification matches at first were not big, especially when they unified like the WCW titles with the WWE titles. But this one feels a little bit different. I really like the style of the NWA Heavyweight Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship title. I like that style. I don't like the new WWE style, what they have for their belt. I think it's gaudy.
Oh, well, who cares about it? But anyways, let's talk, though, about the importance of it.
Importance, it is important because you're basically closing the chapter on one title. Because what are they going to name the title this time now?
The Unified Championship or something stupid. So it's really going to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
And it's Yeah, but I almost wish that they would just close the books on each title and say this is the new title. So then you have all these guys who had this title, but you say that, man, that's going to be a tough one, how I can word this. Basically, you have like each of those as twos, and then you have the number one title, which will be the new WWE heavyweight title. But then those two are actually just underneath it. So then, now that's
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a way to basically you have
keep
one
both
title.
Titles?
No. You have one title, but the history of that title now is combined with both the World Heavyweight and the WWE Championship. Does that make sense?
So you have, I understand what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah. So you basically have two brackets, and then now they're basically making a triangle up to one.
Actually, if you check out Wikipedia, they have a really good article about the divergence of the championships, where they talk about the NWA title, how it's splintered to the WWWF, and then how you had the NWA, which became WCW, but then NWA splintered away also, and then WCW and WWE combined, and then they split again, and now they're getting combined another time. I totally understand that they're only going to follow the WWE lineage. Okay, let's just call it what it is. They will only follow that lineage, which is unfortunate. But the importance of it is this. You have two of the most prestigious titles in the wrestling industry, you know, who now are going to become one. And it was a really big deal when WCW and WWE did it, when they finally did it and Jericho won it. But I guess it just didn't feel as big as this. And I don't know if it's because I didn't pay nearly as close of attention. I mean, I paid close attention, but I guess it just wasn't as close. Maybe because I wasn't doing a podcast at the time.
Well, also, I think they actually just threw it together at the last moment, because I read an article where Vince was furious about how no one liked WCW because they had long term plans, quote unquote. They had them in place. So then Vince just said, hey, we're combining all the titles in Tacoma, I think it was, or not Tacoma, but in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think is what the show was. Mm-hmm. And they just said, hey, we're going to combine all the titles. Oh, so now they have the right. So they're combining all the titles, which I thought it sounded weird, but it's kind of what happened. They're like, hey, we're going to combine the US and the IC title. And the yeah, they just started combining stuff, which I thought was ridiculous. But hey, that's what Vince wanted to do.
I think that this is like when they say it's the biggest and most important match, it's not the most important, but top 10 for sure. I would say this is going to be a top 10 match if it ends with a real winner and not just, you know, some tomfoolery. Has to be a real winner. If this does not end with a real winner, then this is going to be one of the top 5 most disappointing matches in wrestling history.
Ooh, that, you know what? You might be right on that. It's bad enough they did the whole thing with Orton and Daniel Bryan. This would be, you're right, this 100% would be the biggest letdown of all, every time in wrestling. I can't think of another time besides the time ICP came into WCW.
Sting and Hogan at 97 Starrcade, one of the biggest disappointments. Sting versus Warrior at Halloween Havoc 99-ish, really disappointing. And then this would be up there too. And then I would say Daniel Bryan versus Orton, that whole series. And, you know, there'd be a few others I would probably throw in there. But this, I would say, is going to be one of the top 5 most disappointing if they end it in a dumb way.
They will, because we know how WWE is acting. So anyways, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AllTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.